Your true nature and my true nature is good, it's beautiful, it's special, and it needs each other. And play with how to move one step closer to that truth every day.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and we have an exceptional guest to share with you today. Her name is Mary Kay Durant, affectionately known as MC. We'll bust that out from time to time today. She is known worldwide as a change leadership and business performance consultant. She's been in that space for 30 years, helping people reorient from broken playbooks to systems and paradigms that rekindle the human spirit, from doing, producing, performing to being, partnering, and growing. She does this via her motto we're going to talk about, but like I said, she's known everywhere, and she has worked with some of the top companies in the world, including Johnson & Johnson, Deloitte, Pepsi, Hyatt, and KPMG, just to name a few. And she's here to share her brilliance with us today. Mary Kay Durant, welcome to the Daily Helping Podcast. It is awesome to have you with us today.
Oh my gosh, with that kind of introduction, I'm going to follow you everywhere. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. We've got a lot to live up to here, right? So, but we're going to have a great discussion. And as you know, I'm so interested in people's why. We talked a little bit before we hit the record button, so I got to know you a little bit. But let's jump into the Mary Kay time machine. Talk to us about that moment or those series of moments that really guided you to this path you're on today, helping so many people all over the world.
Well, you know, Dr. Richard, when I was growing up, both of my parents were so passionate about what they did in their daily work. You know, my mom, I'm the eldest of six kids. She had six kids in 7 years. You have to be passionate about children to have that many, that close together. And, you know, she was passionate about her daily work of raising us kids and doing it in ways that were unconventional. I didn't have TV. We grew our own food. But she was so passionate about her work. And my father, a pediatrician, was the same. I could share stories about really courageous things he did. And what I found in my own life was that I fell into the trap of trying to be pleasing, to try and do everything right, to be what I thought would look good in the world and have me belong. For whatever reason, that was a struggle for me growing up. And what I found in my late 20s, early 30s, is that I had a lot of external strappings of success. My life looked really good from the outside, but I felt numb, overwhelmed, frustrated. I felt like my work didn't matter. And I felt really disconnected from the little girl that I had been.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think that I fell into the story that we're told about, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, do it yourself, be really successful, have all the things, you know, climb the ladder. And frankly, actually, a ladder doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is doing things that contribute to human beings, things that I think are my greatest gifts and make me come alive, doing it with people I love. And in the work I do with others, I see the same thing. That's what we want in our work. And I think that's that I fell into that lie.
What's interesting too, because I've read kind of all about you and I know about your model, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and it's so very different than most business consultants that I've run across. At what point, as you made this decision, I'm going to be a leadership and business performance consultant, right? And you went down that path, but yet you're doing it in a way that's so different than most people. Was that kind of part of that same mindset that, you know, I don't really care about the ladder. I just want to help people. What is it that brought that to life for you?
Well, it's actually the very first part of the model, and it's kind of a funny story. So in the middle of my corporate career, I was in Fortune 100 world. I was leading a big transformation project. It was not going well, Dr. Richard. And I did what probably any mid-30s would do at that point. I went on vacation. But I didn't go on a typical vacation. I went unexpectedly and serendipitously to the plains of Colorado and found myself at a personal transformation workshop with five other women standing in a hot field surrounded by horses. And a woman walked into the circle and said, "Horses never lie. Humans lie, mostly to themselves." And that was the beginning for me of looking at the lies that I had believed about who I needed to be worthy of being valued and making a difference. I started to look at the lies I was telling in my life, not maybe explicitly, but things I was going along with that weren't really working. And what happened for me in that point was I started to find my way back to my own values and what I cared about. And Dr. Richard, in that process, what I discovered when I went back to my work is that telling the truth about what I care about, the human spirit and what I believe brings it alive, started to make a big difference in the way the business performance went. And then I started to notice that the things that I saw in nature, like what I learned from those horses about cooperation and truth telling, that those were the things that actually taught us more about how to work cooperatively, and that we started to do the things that we see in nature, be resilient, grow. And I started to get curious about what could that inspire in us to start working differently. And so it just started as a hunch that I've been practicing for over 20 years now.
So I love this. This is a foundational model of the workplace that's rooted in natural environments and has these biological components of things that just show up in the wild. So as you started, because you were working in this Fortune 100 world, and I imagine that many of these things that would be applied in the workplace absolutely can be applicable to our families and our home lives. You know, it's a framework. So before we talk about the framework in detail, as you started applying this, what were you noticing? What were the differences?
I noticed that all my relationships got better. As a matter of fact, I'll say it the way that one of my very first clients, when I went out on my own, said. She said to me, "I hired you to help my business perform better because I was exhausted and my team was exhausted. But what happened was that was most important. Yes, we got those results, but my relationship with my ex-husband got better. And my relationship with my teenage children completely transformed." And she, to this day, credits the work around partnering the way we can learn from nature and our living systems with her navigating, you know, raising kids in today's world, and with the kind of partnership and relationship she shares with them as they're now young adults.
I love this. So let's jump into the model. The acronym is WORK. I want to work, no pun intended, our way through it. What's the W stand for?
It stands for wake up. And ideally waking up to wonder. And I'll go back to that moment on the plains for me when I got to discover from these horses. And by the way, I didn't grow up with horses, just little wooden ones. So I didn't know anything about them. But I got to wake up to the wonder of their presence that they bring to us. It's why, as I'm sure you're aware, they're being used in so many healing modalities now because of so much of the biology of the way their hearts and our hearts are wired. You know, horses have carried humans for millennia to places we couldn't go. So I got to wake up to the wonder of being, learning about presence and learning about trust and truth from something I would never have expected. And I think about waking up to wonder in a really practical way, Dr. Richard, as it's just these small things where we just maybe pause in our life and notice what's around us. You know, you were talking about the dogs. I was out with them this morning, walking in the field behind my house on the trails. And I just thought, how did I, a girl from North Dakota, end up here in San Diego on these amazing trails? And I just woke up to the wonder of that moment. You know, so much of what we're taught is that our brain and our thinking gets us where we are. But the reality is there's so much wonder in how life itself is created. And when we wake up to that, we start to notice things in us and in others that let us create different ways of working and living.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're saying, you know, that makes sense to me, but I'm a real pragmatic, logic-oriented person, what are some ways that people can start tapping into that wonder that you use with your clients?
I would say start small. And if you're a doubter, and I was, I mean, if someone had said this to me 30 years ago, I would have probably rolled my eyes. So I would say start small and just notice something in your life that you appreciate, that you value, and then think, how did that come into my life? And just spend 5 minutes reflecting on all the things that had to happen for that thing that you love, whether it's a person, a garden, a client you love working with, and you'll start to notice there's so much that you could never have done to make that happen. And if we just spend a couple minutes every day picking one thing and noticing that, and I still do it because I can fall into cynicism. Boy, our world offers us a lot of it, you know, but it brings me back.
I love the way that you put that, MC, because many of us have a gratitude practice. And it gets very cliche and boring just to wake up every day and say, oh, I'm grateful for my spouse and I'm grateful for my dogs and the roof over my head. I'm not saying we shouldn't be grateful for those things, but the way that you just framed that was, don't just be grateful for these awesome relationships. Marvel at the wonder of all of the breadcrumbs that had to be traced backwards exactly to unfold as the way that they did for that to be in your life. Now that is cool. And nobody's ever really expressed it to me that way before. So thank you for sharing that. Okay. So I'm going to keep moving here because acronyms are fun. W is wake to wonder. What's the O?
Orient. Orient from the inside out. So every sentient being on planet Earth, except for most humans now, it wasn't always this way, orient all the time. So they orient to where, who am I? How am I? Where am I? They orient to the moment. And especially after a moment of tension, you know, something doesn't go well with a client, you know, your boss is upset with you, your spouse is tense. What do we see in nature? The birds like shake off the energy. The horses will run around. They move the energy. They take a deep breath and orient. It puts us back in that parasympathetic nervous system. And so I get up every morning out of bed, put my feet on the ground and orient north and just ask myself, who am I today? How am I? Where am I? And before I got on this podcast, I oriented again. And I said, who am I? I'm generous. I'm a generous person who feels super uncomfortable right now, but really cares about this conversation. And so I think orienting lets us be present in the ways that everything, like the reason we go into nature, it's like also present, and it gives us a way of accessing that, which is actually where the magic happens, where we can marvel back to it. I love that word that you used here before.
I have some thoughts, but I want to hear your wisdom on this. You said that you don't feel that humans are really doing this today. Talk to us more about that.
I'm really eager to hear your thoughts because I'm sure you have some good wisdom for me. What I would say is when people lived closer to the land, when we were more in touch with the land, we did orient. And it was our way of being safe, creating a sense of place, a sense of belonging. So humans did orient, and we've sort of lost, I think, that practice. I don't know very many people who do it regularly. And I think about orienting lets us navigate to uncertain places. So if you think about how much change is happening, there will never be more change or less change than we're having now, like so much change. If you think about it, wayfinders oriented with nothing but the instruments in their body, the things that were around them, the birds, the ocean, each other, the strengths they each had, and they navigated thousands of miles of uncertainty over the oceans by orienting. And so it's a practice that can serve us in little moments when something matters, like a day that's precious or a meeting that we care about, but it can also help us orient with others to the things that we care about that are big and uncertain.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. What I'm hearing, Mary Kay, is you're describing essentially a grounding practice, a practice, and this could be a meditative practice, this could be a journaling routine, but something that makes us be aware and cognizant of where we are. And where we are, like you said, it doesn't just mean like physically where I'm standing like a pin on a map on our iPhone, but rather where we are in this moment. How are we feeling in this moment? What's coming up for us in this moment? I love this. And again, we really have not been talking so much about your corporate work really as we've gotten into this model, but though it's got a work acronym, I see that this is really applicable to anybody in any scenario. You know, the one thing you said, which I do agree with, that people are not doing anymore, there's a good amount of research around this, is that when we are physically in nature, our bare feet touching the grass, being near the ocean, there's actually a physiological response that's measurable in the body in terms of change. And I appreciate, you know, the mention of the parasympathetic nervous system, because I always geek out on neuroanatomy. But the reality is there are these things that are in nature that are designed to be a pause button, if not a reset button for us. So many of us living, you know, you mentioned how grateful you are to have these trails around you. Many of us don't have the trails, but it's so important to get exposure to outside, even if it's just 10 minutes of sunlight, even if it's just fresh air, if there is such a thing in 2026 in America. But the reality is nature matters. It's really only been, you know, in the last several thousand years that we've moved from living in caves to, you know, being in skyscrapers, right? And being under artificial lamps and not natural sunlight. So I love that you have this orient from the inside out. And I love that it's, again, one of these principles that you've drawn from nature, because this is important stuff, whether you're working in a corporate setting or whether you just want to live an optimal life. So I'm loving this so far, MC. So we've got wake up to wonder, orient from the inside out. We're halfway home. Talk us through the R.
So reimagine relating. And I think that, you know, we talked at the very beginning about some of the things that have led to the state of the world we find ourselves in now. And I think at best, the places we work, and sadly, even some of our relationships, are at best transactional. I give you a paycheck, you give me 8 hours. I might be resentful about it because you don't have me feel valued in the time that I'm there. I don't get to bring my best. So we come at things relating at best transactionally, and often in today's world, sadly, adversarially, where I have to protect myself from you, or I have to assert myself over you. And we don't see in nature anywhere a boss who tells other people how to be. What we see in nature, particularly when it's healthy, is vibrant models of you be all of you, I be all of me. We're both giving our most to live the most full life we can. And at the same time, we hold a cooperative relationship with each other. And nature can teach us how to reimagine the way we relate to ourselves and to each other, where we don't sacrifice any of who we are, but we have the tools. And this is where neuroscience and so many of the things that you help people with can help us translate what we see in nature into the ways that we relate with each other. And I'll say one more thing, and then I'll pause for some of your wisdom, which is, I think we think that we have a relationship. So my relationship with my boss is difficult. My relationship with my husband is challenging right now. And really what nature shows us is all we have are moments of relating. I had this just last night with my husband. I'm sort of embarrassed to say this. Like we have this, you know, there's this moment and then this moment. And last night, Mikey and I had a moment where I came at something a little defensively and his energy went up and he named my defensiveness. And I had a choice in that moment. I sort of walked away in a huff and I took a deep breath and I said, moments of relating. I can shift from seeing him as my adversary, take a deep breath, reorient, be like, this is a man who believes in me, cares about me. Let me take a deep breath. Let me take another perspective and let me reorient and move from adversarial all the way up to partnering. And partnering is to go back and say, yeah, that was a messy human moment. Can I try again? And in his great way, he laughed and, you know, it didn't have to ruin the night. So it's a very, again, small, small moments. But if we can start with these small moments and reorient and get back to relating in cooperative ways, like what nature teaches us, so much more becomes possible. I think so much of the burnout that we experience is we're trying to do it all and be it all, as opposed to recognizing we each have a part. There's my part and there's not my part. And if we can start to build the relationships that do that by the ways that we reimagine relating, that is where we get to be all of who we are and we get to be up to amazing things without burning out.
So I get to put on my clinical hat for a second. I'm smiling as you're describing this because you're talking a lot of the seminal work of Aaron and Judith Beck as they talk about cognitive reframing, right? How can I look at a situation through a different lens that I've been viewing? And what you're talking about, the analogy used with your husband, Mikey, was you had this opportunity to be adversarial and you paused. You reframed that perspective and said, you know, rather than essentially be a combatant, I'm going to choose to be a solution provider, a partner in finding whatever that common ground is. And that's not easy to do in a moment, right? When you're all riled up and, you know, we've all had those moments in our personal lives and we've all had those moments in our professional lives. But the act of pausing in that moment, taking a breath and being able to say, how can I be different? I mean, that's applicable whether you're a partner in a business, in a relationship, whether you're a parent, whether you're a sibling. Again, this, the, you know, the parallels are kind of all over the place with this. But I can see where this is particularly valuable in group settings in a corporate space, because when you've got large corporations or even small companies, right, even if it's a small business, but you've got teams with diverse viewpoints on them, and you've been doing this long enough to know that everybody thinks their idea is the best idea. So it makes sense to be able to come to the table with this. So I really love this.
Dr. Richard, may I say one more thing about,
of course,
partnering? So again, there may be people here who are sort of unsure about the horses and what they can teach us around communication. But I just want to give an example of this because they are 1,000-pound animals that move faster than the domestic cat, and they're so attuned to energy. And their way of being safe in a herd is by trust. So the lead horse in a herd is the one who is the most congruent under pressure. Think about that as a leader when you were just talking about in teams and corporations. The one who does not lose themselves, their values, their commitments and character under pressure, and is able to invite that in others. So they are the most trustworthy. And so when we practice what you're just talking about, we become trustworthy to other people. And in that trust, we can do as Covey taught us 70 years ago, move at a faster speed. And so I think what you're saying is part of the secret sauce of these small, tiny moments of partnering that build trust, that let us really be up to the kinds of work that we care about and that make a difference. So I really appreciate what you offered there.
Without being ideological. We live in a society that is remarkably divided, that absolutely spills into the workplace. We're living in a time where if you believe in one side of the aisle, you're not getting invited to Thanksgiving because most of those people believe in the other side of the aisle. This is really bad for us. What have you seen with your reimagining relating, where you've been able to help people shift so significantly and be able to come to terms with somebody that is so diametrically opposed to everything they believe in, yet there's harmony there?
Well, harmony is a big word. What I will say is I'm imagining and picturing in my mind right now an executive team who leads really, really important work for sick children. And there's a member of that team who has been very divided about some of the shifts coming out of Washington in healthcare from the rest of the team. And the work of partnering and the small, small, tiny steps there. What I would say with this team, it's about learning to help them sit in the discomfort and not go into overpowering or withdrawing, but allowing them to sit and find points of commonality and sit in the discomfort of someone's view being different with them. And just like nature teaches us that that tension is a gift to growth, that if they can just sit in those moments of tension, small sprouts of things that I've shared connection about begin the process of the healing and begin the process of restoring. And I'm such a big fan of what the Gottmans teach, that trust is actually built in the repair. And that's what I'm seeing with this team. We're not to harmony yet, but we are making really meaningful progress in a very divided situation. And so again, I just go to this nature's model of really small steps, the importance of learning to be with tension, and who are the people that help you stay in that tension long enough to see something new.
Beautifully said. Okay, let's do the K in your work model.
So the K is keep nourishing what matters. And that to me can be big and small. And how I practice this personally is oftentimes when I orient at the beginning of the day, if I notice something in my space that's incongruent with my values, I have to nourish that part of myself. So we talk a lot about self-care, you know, and people often think of it as things like going to the spa or taking a day off. But I look at it as like, what do I need to nourish in myself? What poison might be in my space that's in the way of me actually living my values? And it might be nourishing my relationship with Mikey, because boy, I had a moment that was, you know, not so great last night. And so I'm not trying to make up for it, but I am attuning to how am I nourishing that relationship that matters a lot to me. And so I think it's noticing what matters most here in this moment and making sure in the busyness of my to-do list and all the priorities that I'm carving a little space each day to nourish what matters, whether it's within me or in a relationship that matters.
So given your experience, you know, and as people are listening to this, they're probably in their own ways figuring out how they can apply this model to their own lives. Having done this for a while, what are some of the pitfalls people need to be avoiding or things to be thinking about to be optimally successful with this?
I'll say the most important thing to me that I've seen in my own life and with people I work with is don't try and do it alone. Nature, again, teaches us everything that is connected grows. Anything that is disconnected dies. And so find at least one or two people who care about something that you care about, who are willing to, back like the horses, tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. And like you said, get a little sunlight, find a moment to get a little of that nature. It will remind you of your beautiful own true nature.
We might have just done this and put the cart before the horse, no pun intended, but I like to wrap up every episode by asking my guest this one question, and that is, Mary Kay, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information that you'd like our listeners to walk away with after hearing our chat today?
Your true nature and my true nature is good, it's beautiful, it's special, and it needs each other. And play with how to move one step closer to that truth every day.
I love that. MC, if people want to learn more about you and read up on you on the internet, where should they go?
They can go to my website, marykdurant.com. My team and I are working hard to start a monthly newsletter that they can sign up for that's going to have really practical and I hope inspiring ways to practice what we've talked about today.
Outstanding. And if you are in the gym or riding a horse, we got you covered. Everything Mary Kay Durant will be featured in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Mary Kay, this has been such a pleasurable conversation. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today on The Daily Helping.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day, thank you. If you liked it, if you're inspired, if you're going to go apply this model, whether on a horse or not, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.